Today we're going to be doing Kuf Mem Gimel, the 143rd Psalm, Mizmor le David. This is, on the surface, not very complicated. Magen tells us that this too is one of those Mizmorim that are composed at or about the time that David was in hiding, possibly in the cave. Like any other tefillah, and it's called a tefillah, Hashem Shim'a Tefillati, even though it doesn't say so at the very beginning, he says that it follows the methodology of tefillot that Chazal eventually canonized, and that is that it begins with shevach, it begins with praise. In the middle there are requests for everybody. Later on it ends with some more shevach. And only afterwards, after Shmoneh Esrei, do you have tachanun, where you ask for things that are personal. Hashem shma tfilati ha'azina el tachanunai. Remember that Malbim told me that a tefillah is for everybody. Tachanun is for myself. Be'emunatcha aneini betzitkatcha. And the concept here is, by your faithfulness, be'emunatcha, namely that the Rabbanu Shalom has pledged that he would be there for us. And again, the word aneini betzitkatcha, answer me, if not because I deserve it, then at least by your righteousness. And Mashim Shemrefad Hirsham Nespat says, tzedakah is always the law tempered by mercy, because al tavo b'mishpat et avdecha, don't come into judgment, don't judge me, your servant, since I'm trying to be your servant, I'm living in a way that indicates that I'm Eved Hashem, and remember that David HaMelech was one of the few that were called Eved Hashem. Ki lo yitzdak lefanecha kol chai. For no human being would turn out to be righteous. No living thing could withstand judgment. So there's clearly an indication that whoever is writing this does not necessarily feel that he's worthy of being saved or answered. He hopes God is not going to judge him, but rather treat him with mercy, with love, for no one. There's nobody. And this is not unusual. This is Kohelet. Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher lo yechta. There's no such thing as a righteous person who has not sinned. And if God were to use the full extent of the law against us, none of us stands a chance. And that part, according to the Malbim, is the introduction to what is about to happen. Okay? Not unlike when you open up Shmoneh Esrei, Hashem sfatai tiftach ufi yagid tehilatecha. I'm opening up, I'm asking, I know that I don't have a right, but I'm begging you on the basis of your mercy. But now he's going to tell us why he's begging. What is the situation? Ki radaf oyev nafshi. And if you look carefully, you will see that I bolded and highlighted the word nafshi. I noticed this as I was writing this, that the word nafshi keeps repeating itself. And when I bolded it, I found that it was five times. And I also noticed that in the beginning he says, al tavo b'mishpat et avdecha. And he ends, ki ani avdecha. Ki ani avdecha ben amatecha. In other words, what I've done, bad, but ultimately the purpose of my life, the direction of my life has been to serve you. I see myself as your servant, and as a result, I appeal to you in that fashion. Ki radaf oyev nafshi, dika la'aretz chayati, hoshivani b'machshechim, ki metei olam. Now, some try to figure out exactly what event in David's life is he referring to. So Sosfona will tell us, for example, rodef nafshi, the one that persecutes, that goes after my life, is Shaul. Dika la'aretz chayati, he tells us, is an incident that occurred in Selah HaMachloket, where it was a case of Shaul and his entire army going after David. When word comes that there has been another raid by the Plishtim, and he has to make a choice. Is he going to go after his nemesis, personal nemesis, or is he going to deal with a national security issue? As it turns out, he goes after the national security issue. But at that point, Dika la'aretz chayati, my life at that point was oppressed to the very ground. David at that point was actually in hiding among the various caves and so on in the mountains. Hoshivani b'machshechim, he settled me in the darknesses, in the dark places. Some will say this was in the cave, and others, according to Sfono, is he sat, had me live amongst the goyim. Kimitei olam, like those that are dead to the world, or like those who no longer have chelek le'olam haba. Ibn Ezra doesn't see this as being specific to David's life. He thinks this is a tefillah klalit, a generalized prayer, much like Malbim originally told us. And he says, in it, though he speaks in first person singular, he is speaking about the fate of the Jew in Golos. Ki radaf oyev nafshi, for the enemy chases after me to kill me. Dika la'aretz chayati, he's oppressed me with all kinds of gzerot, all kinds of decrees that made life miserable. Had me sit in dark places, both by hiding, places that they had to hide. You can well imagine this in World War II. People were in hiding. Kimitei olam, as if I were long dead. In fact, hoping that they would think that I'm long dead and not come after me. And this is a generalized statement of somebody who's being horribly persecuted. Malbim wants to, unlike Hadak or Ibn Ezra, to think that Oyev Nafshi Tikala Aretz Chayati is simply saying more or less the same things but in different terms. And he wants to differentiate between Nafshi and Chayati. And he says, wherever you have both the Nefesh and the Chayim put together, otherwise, nafshi can mean my soul or my life. He says, but when you have both words, nafshi refers to one's spiritual life, and chayim means one's physical life. If that's the case, the enemy has persecuted me spiritually. It would be very appropriate for those who had, you know, couldn't keep their religion, try to compel us to convert. Dika la'aretz chayati, and if you didn't convert, whether it was in Christian countries or in Muslim countries, your life was made miserable, additional taxes, you were given a subhuman status and without citizenship. Hoshivani b'mechshachim, to him this is not merely a question of the darkness or a hiding place, but to live in a place where it seems like there's no daylight, precious little hope. The darkness indicating no light, and also one in which spiritually there's no enlightenment, so that there is a sense that you've been abandoned. Kimitei olam, as if I was long since dead. And therefore comes the feeling that I've been abandoned by God as well as persecuted by human beings. And as a result, vatit atef alai ruchi. La'atof is to wrap. My spirit has wrapped itself around me or on me. The concept is somehow that the head and the legs are kind of like folding in on each other. So Hadak and Mitzudot tell us somebody who's been so tortured that they're bent over completely, almost in a fetal position, in which the legs and the head are bending in pretzel-like on one. Like what you would do sometimes if you were being beaten and you were scrunching your body. Malbim says that if somebody has no energy and they are near death and they're nearly swooning, what occurs is, and this Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch explains, he says, it's as if your life force now is centered on your core and has given up on the extremities. He goes further and he says it's as if the spirit has lost control of the body. Hence the idea of fainting. When you're fainting, you're still breathing, your heart is still pumping, you've lost consciousness and an ability to control your limbs. So he says, Vatitalef alai ruchi, so I've already learned nafshi, chayati, ruchi, my spirit, betuchi, yishtomem libi. My heart inside me is astonished or senseless, numb, as if I don't even know what's happening with me. I've lost not only control, but almost this semi-consciousness. You're awake, but you're not fully aware of what is happening to you. Zacharti yamim mikedem, and in the process of this swooning comes a memory. I remember days of old, from ancient times. Hagiti bekol poalecha, I contemplated all your works. Almost as if he's lost sense of his own body, but at the same time there's a memory of creation, of a time when there was a sense that God has created this world. B'maaseh yadecha asocheach, I remember when I would converse about the works of your hand. Almost as if one is lying there in a semi-conscious state, but remembers a time when one lives fully. Mm-hmm. When there is a memory of enjoying and seeing and standing in awe of God's creation. I remember, parasti yadai elecha, I stretched my hand out to you. This gesture of, take me, nafshi, and the way the te'amim want us to do, is just have that word stand all on its end, ke'eretz ayifa lecha, is like an exhausted earth towards you, selah. An exhausted earth is an earth that has been over-cultivated, is dried up, is thirsty. And all he has here is, oh, and I'm, take me, take me. And as a result, both Malbim as well as Rabbi Shimshon Refael Hirsch tell us we have a person here who's on the verge of death. And is simply waiting for somebody to come and take his soul, nafshi. And there's very much a sense that he's quite at the edge of giving up, despairing. But there was something that he said a moment ago. Even as he's despairing, he remembers. He remembers old days. He remembers when he could contemplate what God had done. That would include miracles. When he would be able to converse and discuss and revel in this beauty of God's works. So there is still almost a string, do you understand, that's still holding on to life. And it is at that point that we have that word selah, which I think you will see that your translations don't even try to translate. They simply transliterate it. We have a pause here. And at that despairing moment, when it looks like it might just be over, when it's all finished, whether it's a personal suffering, whether it's somebody, as Rashi says, bagola, in golus, seeming to indicate that there is no hope, nobody can help me here, it's finished here, we have a change. Maher, aneini, quickly, answer me. Hashem, kal taruchi, God, my spirit is going out, l'chalot, to finish. It is finishing, but it is also kilyon einayim. Explain to us the mefarshim that kilyon einayim is this yearning, but when hope seems to be dashed. It's hoping against hope, hoping against a reality that seems to indicate that there is no reason to hope. Al taster panecha mimeni. Don't hide your face from me. V'nimshalti im yodei bo, so that I would then be compared not merely to the dead of the world, but to those who go down in the pit, and as Zam tell us, go down into Gehenna. Don't treat me that way, says Sforno, as one whose tshuva was not accepted, who God turned away from, whose has a barrier put up between him and his prayers. Hashmieni baboker chastecha, make me hear in the morning your love. Wake me up. He's in the dark, remember? So he wants boker, which is of course a sign of hope. Let me hear it. Ki becha batachti, for I trusted you, but in fact it's also only you. I had no trust in anyone else left. There was nobody else who could help me. Hodieni derech zu elech. Not only tell me that I'll live, but tell me what path shall I take. So those who saw this as being in the life of David saw it as him in a dead end. He has reached a point where he doesn't know which way to go. Do I turn this way? Do I turn this way? As somebody who's being pursued. Tell me which way I should go. But others say, no, he's not asking now about fleeing from the enemy. In hiding from the enemy, in needing to save his life, running from place to place, being as he's living, friendless, in the dark, seeing no hope, he's lost his way. He's lost his way not merely to save his physical life, he's lost his way spiritually. And therefore he's begging Hashem, show me. And that's what Malbim says. At the brink of death, he pulls back with renewed hope and prayer, not only hoping that the Rabbi Shem would forgive him for bad things that he had done, knowing that he's certainly not been innocent, and knowing that even in the process of trying to save his life, he's needed to do things that may have been immoral, and including killing others to save himself. Teach me, guide me your way. Show me which way I shall go. Ki elecha nasati nafshi. And again that line. I have lifted my spirit. I have drawn my spirit only to you. If it means living a miserable life, I'd rather die. But if I can live this life and have a life in which my spirit is drawn to you, living a way that you would want, a meaningful life, this is all I want. Hatzileni me'oivai Hashem, save me from my enemies, Hashem, elecha kisiti. And this last phrase has been a dispute amongst great scholars from the Middle Ages on. And I will explain why. The word kisiti, the way it usually appears, and if you look, usually comes from the verb to cover. And it means, I covered. If I covered, then it is a transitive verb which needs to have an object. I covered what or whom. Furthermore, I don't know how it would apply to the preposition that comes beforehand, which is elecha kisiti. In fact, we found quotes from Rishonim in the 10th century, who said that they have difficulty saying this Mizmor Tehillim. They didn't have a problem with the Hebrew. They don't like to say Tehillim that they don't understand. They don't daven stam words. And since they don't understand what this verse means and can't make any sense of it, they avoid saying this Mizmor Tehillim. We find a very interesting thing. This verse has no explanation in the Talmud Bavli, in the Talmud Yerushalmi, and in any of the Midrashim on Tehillim, which we have so much of. Some of the Mefarshim, who can't seem to explain it, simply skip it. So let's talk about what this means. If it is a verb that is a transitive verb, and it means I covered something, the question is, I covered whom? Number one is, I covered up my enemies. In other words, I will not mention them my name, since I have to find an object of the verb. He said earlier, Hatzileni me'oivai Hashem, save me from my enemies. Kisiti, I've covered up. In other words, there's no point in revealing who they are. Why? For Hashem knows who they are. Perhaps even better than I do. Since sometimes we have Oyev, who holds his grudge on the inside, acts as if he is my friend, and I don't know who he is. So I covered it up and I leave it to you. It's almost I need to go and switch the words around. Hatzileni me'oivai kisiti. I leave it to you, Hashem. In the process of doing this, you will find that the Mefarshim need to add a word or two. That is implied. The Meiri explains the word Elecha as equivalent to the word Ba'avocha. Not towards you or for you, but for your sake I covered them up. Which means what? What am I covering you up? So he doesn't think it's the Oivim. He says it's my troubles. And Rashi concurs. I covered up my troubles. Why? Because nobody else is going to help me. And I leave it to you. Why should I point out all my troubles? You know them better than I. There's no point in asking anybody else. And Hadak occurs. I did not reveal my strife, my troubles to any human being. And he adds the words, Kishav Chu'at Tadam, for vain is the salvation that one can have from man. They can't help me. I'm relying on you, God. There's nobody else. And Rashi says, I covered up my tla'ot, my sufferings, my tzuvas, my aggravation. I hide them from all people, and I only tell it to you. So the verb that's missing here is, that which I covered, I say to you. But you see, in all of these cases, they're sticking in words that are not there. Rabbi Shimshon Lefaidir says, I put a veil over all the evil that human beings have done to me. I've removed them from my memory and from my consciousness. I don't want to remember it. I don't want to think of it. I am now doing only one thing. I'm referring to you. I don't really care about them. I'm not interested in what happens to them. I'm not looking for vengeance. I just want you to save my soul. But from whom did I hide it? Even from myself. I'm wiping it out. In other words, all of that is unimportant. The only thing that I'm left with is you. He's quite close to death, and he's seen what this has done to him spiritually, and he's trying to move on. And therefore, he is trying to take all the problems, all of the aggravation, all of the abuse that he suffered, and move them out of his consciousness and move forward. That all presumes that the word kisiti is a transitive verb. There are some who argue, among them Rabbi Saadia Gaon, Rabbeinu Saadia Gaon, who's writing in the 10th century, and he says that it is a reflexive verb, though it's not written in the form of hitpael. So it means kisiti et atzmi. I covered myself. In other words, I hid. Save me from my enemies is the way he translates it. The first part, hatzideni me'olvai. For I hid myself in you. Tachat kanfei hashchina. The Targum agrees. And we don't know who that wrote the Targum in Aramaic. And he tells us as follows, that the word kisiti is a reflexive verb, but does not mean cover. Instead, he says, it means I am counted. And he brings an example of how the word means to be counted. And therefore, he translates this, I am counted as one who relies solely on you. But again, kisiti implies the Ibn Genach in the 10th century, moving into the 11th century, also known as Rabbi Marinus, and Rashi quotes him, says that the word kisiti is the same thing as the word chasiti, kafchet, and chasiti means I found refuge elecha, in you, and therefore gives substantiation to Rabbeinu Saadia Gaon's or the Targum's approach. A third position argues that kisiti is a noun with the suffix that makes it mine. Sifri, my book. Gufi, ruchi, kisiti. Menachem ben Saruk, again one of the people that Rashi often quotes, says that the word kisiti is my portion, my lot. And he quotes from Tehillim, the 16th chapter, Hashem menat chelki vekosi. Very much like the word kos. But that the word my cup, or my cup runneth over, means my lot in life, my portion, the part given to me. You can be given a piece of meat, or you can be given a portion of wine, water, oil, in a cup. It's a measure, what was given to me. And therefore, he says, Elecha is my cup. My portion, my lot in life is to do what? Hashem Eloka Atileini Me'oivai, save me from my enemies, and without adding the word because, Elecha Kisiti. There's only one little problem. By the way, Menachem ben Saruk is the one that thinks that perhaps some words in Ivrit are from a two-letter root instead of a three-letter root, which has become the prevailing view. If there's a three-letter root, then I have the word kos, which is kaf vav samach. I have the word kise, kes malchut, which is kaf samach aleph. And I have the word kisa, to cover, kaf samach hey. That would be the roots. He doesn't see it that way. He thinks that they are, while they are derivatives, the original derivative is kaf samach, and you can play with it in a variety of ways. The Anshech HaKodesh agrees that this is a transitive verb, but it is a passive one, and it refers to him. I was covered. And what he says is, save me for my enemies, for what they've done to me is, they've made a barrier, a cover, between me and you. In other words, in being persecuted, in being pursued, he has needed to live a life which has not been completely moral, needing to steal food, needing to kill, and needing to live in a way that has put a barrier between me and God. So I'm the one that is covered, though I yearn for you. This has become a terrifically difficult phrase in an otherwise rather straightforward mizmor. So therefore, you can decide which of those works well with what follows. Lamdeini lasot retzonecha. Not different from the word earlier, hodieni derech zu alech. Show me, tell me which way I should go. Teach me to do your will. Not my will, your will. Ki ata Elokai, for you are my God. Ruchacha tova, tancheni be'eretz misho. Your good spirit, the goodness of you. Some tell us, what is the word here, your good spirit? Is there a bad spirit? He says, by your good will, lead me so that I will not stumble, and therefore have a flat land, a plain upon which to walk in which there's no stumbling blocks, there's no hills to mount, a climb, a level ground. Make it easier for me, lead me, guide me. And so we have two words, lamdeini, tancheini, teach me, and then guide me. Ibn Ezra says, he imagines himself as a wind-tossed little ship on troubled waters. Send me a good ruach, a good wind. Not one that will sink my ship, but one that will lead me to safe harbor. Radak says he's asking for salvation of the body, but more importantly, for the salvation of the spirit, of the neshama. Leman shimcha Hashem. For the sake of your name, Hashem, which is Yudke Vavke Midas Harachamim, Techayeni, make me live, resuscitate me. Betzit Katcha, through your justice, Totsi Mitzara Nafshi, take my soul out of its trouble. Do you see the alliteration? Tzit Katcha, Totsi Mitzara Nafshi. Ubechazdecha, and with your love, tatsmit uivai. Tatsmit is usually indicating destruction, but it can also mean shrivel, my enemies. Ve'evadeta kol tzorirei nafshi, and eradicate all those who would besiege my souls, squeeze it, trouble it. Ki ani avdecha, for I am your servant. And Radak says, and by implication, and not them.